Welcome to the Ancient Paths podcast. This is Shani and Wendy. You want to say your name?
Yeah. And this is Wendy.
And we are two mothers, a quarter of a century apart, preserving tradition for a modern generation. So we are back again today after it's been a couple weeks. We had some bad weather.
Yeah.
And
it was bad last week.
Just weird scheduling. We're trying to figure out and settle into a good routine.
And the weather's been great, so we really just kind of want to be working outside.
Yes.
Instead of doing a podcast, yes, to be honest.
But we're getting it there. Today, we are going to talk about eating seasonally.
Yeah.
But first, we'll kind of catch up because it's been a couple weeks. We've both been really busy.
Yeah.
What have you had going on?
Really busy. Just working out in the farm every single day. And I've done a couple of workshops since then. I think that I am going to add on more farm consultation, small homestead consultation, mm-hmm, and kitchen. I think I'm going to start doing kitchen garden consultations.
Oh,
a lot of people are doing like the Victory Garden. They're getting,
yeah,
so I think I'm going to start that part of the business under the consultation and do some kitchen gardens, and we can do some installs on kitchen gardens,
yeah,
too. But tell you what herbs need to go in there, where they need to go, the different types of things. Okay. So I've been working on getting that started, and just had some different classes. Did another soap class.
Yeah.
Those are so fun.
I really want to come to one. I just was processing chickens this week.
I was about to say, you're processing chickens on Saturday.
I was a little busy.
But that was so much fun. I like the rendering tallow soap. It's a really good soap to use, and it's easy. It's not rocket science. It's old people. I am old people now. I call it lye soap.
Yeah.
Lye soap.
That always makes me think of the Beverly Hillbillies. Granny, yeah, always
says lye
made
soap.
Her lye soap.
Yeah. That's what we,
okay,
made.
So I'm just check this really,
okay,
quick.
Okay. Set up and I'll,
that's
put,
right,
on the. Yeah.
Okay. So you've been. So
we've been doing workshops, and we've been doing, you know, adding those extra things onto the farm.
Yeah.
Because we're making the farm instead of part time be full time. And so we're just adding different things. And the CSA, summer CSA started Monday.
Yeah.
So here we go. Yeah.
It's so exciting.
It's so exciting. The greens are leaving and the flowering fruits are coming in, like the tomatoes and the squash. And
which goes along perfectly with what we're going to talk about.
I know, with growing, yeah, seasonally.
Yes.
It's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
what you drinking?
I have Tulsi Rose today.
You always have Tulsi Rose.
I love Tulsi Rose.
She is addicted to holy
Tulsi Rose is a really good daily tea because Tulsi is really good for you.
It is very good for you.
It's adaptogenic and it just makes you feel good.
It does. Mm-hmm. And I have the Allegro Organic Hibiscus Spice, which is actually one of my favorites and has all of the warming spices like the ginger, the cardamom, the turmeric. I just love it. I'd like it in the fall.
Wendy likes spicy things.
I like spicy things. Yeah, it's really good.
Does it have orange in it?
I think
that's why I picked it. I think I don't know.
I love, and anything citrus. Oh, it's got pomegranate, which is one of my favorite flavors. It has.
It's definitely
organic orange.
Okay.
Yes, it does.
Hibiscus to me,
but it has pepper in the clove.
Yeah,
warming.
I kind of want to try that one as like an iced tea.
Oh, that sounds delicious.
Because hibiscus is such a. It's fruity, even though it's floral, if that makes
it's
sense.
It's more fruity for me. I
think, yeah. So I don't really enjoy it as
ice cream, like a sorbet.
Ooh,
this would be really good as a sorbet.
Mm-hmm. I might have to try that. Yeah, I don't really enjoy it hot, but I knew that you would enjoy that one.
I love it.
I made it for you.
I love it. We're at Shani's house today.
Yes, we are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah. It's the weather has changed enough that it's not super pleasant to sit outside and record.
No, we're anymore. In Florida for real today. It's April.
It's
in Florida.
Humid.
Yeah, it's humid. So what have you been doing?
Let's see. What have we been doing?
You
we
have homeschooling yet?
No, not yet. We're close. We're close to taking a break, and then we're going to kind of get into a summer routine. There's a couple of things that I wanted to get done this year that we didn't get done. So we're just going to do them in the summer. Because I don't want to take up time at the beginning of the next school year doing review. So we're just going to keep doing some handwriting things, keep doing some math and,
homeschooling is life.
Yeah.
Year round.
And reading. I really want to challenge my kids to read 100 books this summer. And it may be us like a combination of them actually reading a book and us doing some read alouds. Mm-hmm. But, I think we can accomplish it, and I think it would be really exciting for them to fill up a chart and see you know, what they've accomplished. So
as an English teacher, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Read, read, read. Everybody, everybody needs to read.
Yeah. So we're not quite wrapped up with this year, but already planning for next year because that's just the nature of things.
Your garden looks good.
And the garden is growing. I actually, so I decided to do a Florida weave on my tomatoes and it's just about to the point where I need to like prune the lower leaves and go ahead and wrap a string. I just need to get out there and do it. And I need to weed. I haven't done that. I really have not been out there a lot this week and it wasn't really on purpose, but I just have been working inside cleaning up. I'm kind of late on my spring cleaning.
Well, we've hit the weather where you need to be out before 10.
Yes. 11,
and then you need to be back out after 4.
Yes.
In the middle of the day,
I do not enjoy being outside in the middle of the day. I don't I step outside and I sweat and that's just, ugh.
Wait, it's a 2-shower day. That's what my kids used to call
100%.
It. 100%. 2-shower day.
Yes.
We take plenty of showers
in the summertime. The nice thing is with the kids, I will preface this with, yes, I do make my kids bathe, but when they're playing outside in the water hose in the summer,
That's a bath.
Just throwing some soap out there.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, the garden's growing. Got a few things bolting that I keep pulling the flowers off of to try to make them last longer.
Your greens.
I've got collards out there that are trying to bolt, lettuce, and then the cilantro. I never knew that cilantro was really a cold weather crop.
Right.
Because it always shows up in like delicious summer dishes. But
tomatoes and stuff.
Yeah. I think we might try to grow some indoors in the summer because I mean we eat it on a lot of things, especially in the summer. So
some people like it, some people don't.
Yep. Anything.
Some people think it tastes like soap, and some people
don't. I can see that, I guess. But guacamole and salsa need cilantro.
Definitely. I'm not a cilantro soap person.
Yeah.
I think it tastes good.
I do, too.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah,
so I got that. I've got lots of squashes coming up. Okra. I still don't have my corn planted, which is really aggravating.
You better get on the ball.
I know. It just hasn't happened yet. But, yeah, it's growing. It's growing.
You're making progress.
Kyle started digging a duck pond.
That's fabulous.
Yeah. So maybe we'll get some ducks.
Yeah.
Asher thinks we're going to get them tomorrow.
Are you coming tomorrow to get your chicks
from? We are. We're going to go to Tractor Supply and pick up a few more chicks. And if they have ducks, we'll grab a couple.
They are so addictive, chicks.
I know.
I wasn't going to get chicks until Shani told me she had chicks ordered. So I told her to order me 10. And then I went and got Shani's too.
Really? Because I needed Wendy to chicks it for me.
I don't even need 10.
The breed that I wanted, the store had 2 days before I was going out of town for a week.
Right.
And I knew that they were not going to be there when I got back because they're just a popular, they're black copper Morans.
Well, this is why I love the homesteading movement. Because years ago I was at the sale and during the coronavirus at the auction.
That was years ago. That was four years ago.
A dozen eggs of black copper Morans went for $60.
I believe it. Yeah. I did not realize how much money there was in hatching eggs. It's not something I'm interested in getting into because it's a lot of work.
But the eggs are beautiful. They're dark chocolate. And since we have so many families that do our CSA and buy our eggs, I think it's fun for the kids as a teacher. I make them all pretty, like Easter eggs.
The rainbow eggs. That's what I'm working on. I need a darker one. And I really honestly need a few more white egg layers.
A leghorn.
I ended up accidentally with rainbow eggs.
Yeah.
And they're beautiful. But I do want a couple more olive eggers. And then I really just want a lavender Orpington because those chickens are beautiful. They're like this
for the fox.
Gray purplish, hence the lavender.
And they're really docile.
Oh, yeah. We had a pair of them. We got a pair of lavender Orpingtons and a pair of Jubilee Orpingtons, which are also beautiful. I would get rid of the rooster I have now if I had a Jubilee Orpington rooster.
Supply, you send me a text and tell me what they have.
I will. But yeah, I'm accidentally ended up with rainbow eggs, and now I'm fully committed. We're going to have the rest of them.
Keep them.
Keep going.
Yeah.
So,
what are we talking about this week? Is it seasonally?
Yes. This is going to be, eating seasonally. So, most people, I would say in the United States, I think it's a little different overseas, but I've never lived there, so I can't really speak for it. But most people in the United States do not eat seasonally.
Yeah, they do
because
not.
We can walk into a grocery store and there are always red bell peppers and there are always bananas and there are always apples and cantaloupe and watermelon and corn and lettuce. And a lot of those things can be grown year round, but they're most of the time traveling. I mean, we live in an area where a lot of those things are actually grown in our state. Strawberries, for example, are grown pretty much year round. They don't always taste the best, but not everything is actually grown year round in nature. So if you're looking for, whatever your motivation is, if you're looking for a more sustainable way of eating, eating seasonally is the way to go because you're not supporting the, mass transportation of crops across the country and, and how all of that system works.
Yeah. A lot of people, they have different reasons for eating seasonally. The Ayurvedic way of eating is eating seasonally is because that's, they believe that that's the way your body should eat. You should eat what's in your region because of your microbiome for the season that your body recognizes it can process it at different times.
Well, that's how people ate before we had these mass transportation capabilities, and it makes sense.
Right. It does make sense. And also, if you eat seasonally, then you're supporting local.
Right.
You're supporting local.
Which we're going to talk about on the next episode. Next
podcast, right.
Yeah.
So the eating seasonally is good for your body. And but I know people love salads all year round, but we don't grow lettuce in our area. We're in zone 8B, 9A, whichever you want to look at.
We're in 8B.
We're in 8B, yeah.
I say 8B.
Yeah. So we don't typically get below 20 degrees in the wintertime. And so our greens are gone when it gets warm. Right now our greens are bolting.
They're bolting.
They're going. So in the summertime when everybody's eating salads because it's people like that, it's light for lunch. We don't have them here.
Yeah.
We have
unless you're growing
like a tomato salad.
Like hydroponically indoors, maybe.
In a shade. So
in the shade
here, when we talked to our representative at Johnny's, who is one of our seed suppliers that we use, he said, we can do it. But a lot of people do it with fans, shade cloth, misting. I mean, it is you are babysitting that lettuce. That is makes a very expensive head of lettuce.
So, question for the experienced gardener here, or from the experienced gardener. Is shade enough to grow lettuce with the temperatures? Like, how much shade would really impact a lettuce plant enough for it to not bolt if it's 90 degrees outside?
It depends on the variety of lettuce, and it depends on how much UV blockage you have in your shade fabric. But also, it's more the cool, too. It's the coolness, the actual temperature of the air.
Yeah, you put that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, over, if you have, they have, Wes was saying that you have fans that blow through the shade.
Yeah.
You know, and there's misters. I mean, that lettuce that you're selling to the restaurant right now for 50 cents, that costs you 25 cents, you're selling to a restaurant for 50 cents a head. There's no way with all of that electricity, that extra water, that babysitting, you're going to make any money off of that as in production. Now, as a home gardener, you can try it put it in the shade, put it on a porch, put it in a pot.
I bet it doesn't taste as good, though. It's going to be bitter. It's gonna
be bitter.
Yeah. I think that's where finding a different variety of greens, like a different way to have greens, whether I'm thinking I have arugula going.
Arugula's pretty good, but it will bolt.
It will bolt eventually, but I will still... I was able to get, even when the bigger arugula plants bolted, the ones underneath were shaded enough just by those plants.
Right.
And arugula is naturally bitter anyway.
It's
so,
supposed to be, yeah.
Right. It worked for us to eat it that way. I know this is not technically a green, but you can eat it as a green. The one thing that's not bolting right now are pea shoots.
Oh, yeah.
My peas. You can eat the pea leaves just like you can.
Potato greens.
Yeah.
are really good. They actually have a vining spinach that, that you can
Is that grow. Egyptian spinach?
No, it's if you want to ask me, I told you.
Sorry.
But it is a it's not like American. I mean, like it is something. Yeah. It is a I'm gonna have to Google it. So anyway, it's a vining spinach.
Cool.
Australian? No. New Zealand spinach. New Zealand.
Yes, I've seen that one. Yeah.
New Zealand. So when you said that, I was thinking, yeah, it is from somewhere else.
It looks a little bit different.
It does look a bit different, but you can eat those.
But it's a warm weather.
Yeah, it's a warm weather green.
One thing that we have growing, well, it's a couple of things that grow through the summer in our garden that would be considered weeds, but I don't consider them weeds.
Purslane?
Purslane and purslane is delicious.
It is
so it's such sweet. A weird
yeah,
it's almost like when it got really hot, it almost got this tart tang to it that was almost like sour candy.
Yeah,
not saying that it was sweet like candy, but it was almost like I like that.
Yeah, it's
like what could we do with this?
Yeah,
it's and good. It's technically a succulent, so it's also a little bit hydrating. It's really high in vitamin C and other vitamins. And then we have a, I don't think it's technically miner's lettuce, but it's very similar
it
to
is.
The plant.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
And I have it, it grows in a particular bed. It grows in between the two beds where the walking path is. And I just let it grow because I can go out there and pick it and we can eat it. And I think we could even like, we could eat it raw or we could saute it and it would hold up a little bit. It's not like delicate lettuce. Yeah.
And there's a lot of vegetables that help, that hold water because it's summer and you, so you've got the, you need the extra hydration, like the cucumber and the tomato and the squash. And, you know, those are the ones, zucchinis, those are the ones that you need to be eating as vegetables. You can eat those raw. You can eat those cooked.
Yeah.
But typically we don't have a lot of the greens growing in our area. Certainly, other than maybe California, I don't think they grow everything all at one time.
Yeah.
Nowhere else does. I mean, maybe in some mild climates when you get a little bit further north, but where we live. Ours definitely we have a season change. We definitely have a seasonal eating change where you're going from the greens into the fruits and then you go into the legumes with the green beans and the beans, lima beans, southern peas, you know, and then you've got the okra. So if you could just learn to enjoy the seasonal eating and just go with it.
And I think that's a really big adjustment. And that's hard. And the nice thing is like right now in our environment, we don't have to go cold turkey on, you know, only eating the things that are grown in season. But if you can purpose, with your money and your time and your effort to do that, it is possible. And I do wonder, the health benefits of,
of you have just people who really tout that there is a big difference.
Dr. Yeah.
Perlmutter is a, I think he's a neurosurgeon. I'm not really sure, but he and Dr. Amen even talk about seasonal eating and that your microbiome and how your body knows what, you know, when you eat something, I don't really know how it works, but you're eating something in your area. It's like people talking about raw honey in their
local honey
in their area.
Yeah.
There's something about what's the spores, the wild yeast and all the things in the, your area. Eating locally, it's just either easier on your system. And I guess I'm not a scientist, but there's something to be said about
it. It makes
that.
Sense. I mean, it's the same kind
intuitively,
of thing.
Intuitively, I think we
know, with walking barefoot outside.
Right, you know? Exactly.
Not only do some people believe that it's grounding, but it also, your body interacts with the microbiome in the dirt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and electromagnetic field.
Yeah, yeah, there's a lot to it. So, okay, right now it is mid-April.
Mm-hmm.
We're exiting really winter crops. Mm-hmm. Winter and, I don't know, do you consider what we're going into right now spring crops or summer? Because I feel like we don't have a spring.
This is not
we have spring. We have spring. Like a long summer, and it kind of eases up into the heat, and then it's hot.
Yeah.
And then we get hot, warm fall, and then we have winter.
A lot of people would consider this, the majority of America would consider this summer weather. We're in the 80s already today.
Well, I mean, there's places in the United States that don't plant what I have growing right now until June.
Right. Oh, for sure.
But I've had it in the ground for a month.
So I think that we have just an extended winter, or our spring is a winter.
Right.
So, I mean, so we just have a really long extended time where we can have greens.
Yeah.
From October to now.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're getting ready to go into summer. So we're going to lose all of those.
Yeah.
And also our day length has increased because of daylight savings time, mm-hmm. and because it's just, it's increasing. That makes a difference on the plants.
My plants, onions have just gone crazy in the last month.
Yeah.
Because, and I honestly, I just bought like the Bonnie's onions. Right. So I don't know if they're short day or long day, but they're exploding now with
And we don't have, we're near the equator. And so we don't have, we have short days.
Yeah.
And so we don't have the long days that onions need to get lots of rings, lots of bulbing. So we grow them as spring onions usually. And we can grow bulb onions. We just have to start them in October.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I have one overwinter them. That overwintered unintentionally, that one of them is a really nice bulb. And I am learning maybe what I can do to get good bulb onions mm-hmm. next year, but it's more of
lots of nitrogen leaf growth first, because for each leaf is a ring.
Oh, that
each
makes
leaf
sense.
Is a ring. So you want lots of leaves. Yeah.
Yeah.
You want lots of leaves. So you have rings and you want to start when you see them bulbing, take the dirt away from them. Take the dirt away from the bulb because the roots underneath it, and let that just stand.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And they will get bigger and bigger.
Nice.
Yeah. It's cool. So what's the biggest challenge you think of people eating seasonally?
Not buying strawberries at the grocery store every week. You can't eat strawberries every week. My kids and I, we were eating lunch today, and I had pulled out some cheese and pepperoni and crackers and blueberries. And one of the boys was like, I want to go blueberry picking. I was like, mm-hmm. I know, me too. It's just not quite blueberry season. And he said, well, is it strawberry season? I was like, well, we're kind of at the end and done with strawberry season. Like, they're not really, you know, we peaked kind of in late March.
Blueberry season.
Yes. And I was like, it's almost peach season. The local peach farm is going to open any day now.
Yeah.
So we can go pick peaches. And it's fun to get excited about that.
It is. Yeah.
Like, it was fun to get excited about getting to go pick fresh strawberries. And really for us, I mean, we can get Plant City strawberries in February and they're delicious. You can get them at the grocery store, but pretty soon we won't be able to get very good strawberries.
No, but you know, you can think, you know, that's kind of local. I don't know. It's the same state. It's not greatly local.
No, but there are some things like regionally.
Regional, try to get.
We can eat regionally.
Yeah.
Some things, but I think it's adding more variety.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I buy apples all year long because apples are an easy snack.
And they're inexpensive, relatively.
Right. They're not very expensive. And when you have four kids, I mean, I still cut up the apples because we make them stretch further that way. But we buy those every week and we buy
nut
cuties.
Butter and you got a good snack.
Oh, yeah. But there's other things like, you know, in the early spring, eating asparagus,
mm-hmm.
Brussels sprouts, and all of those kinds of brassica greens. And then as the summer comes, we aren't eating as many of those. And then we're starting to eat some of the squashes and zucchinis. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, if you eat that way, even if you're not buying locally at all, which we will talk about later, you're going to save money by eating seasonally, even if you're only shopping at the grocery store.
They're more readily available.
Right. So even if you are not in an area where you can buy those things that are locally grown and produced, you're going to save money by shopping seasonally, which is a really good place to start and establish the habits. The food is going to taste better because asparagus that you buy in February is going to taste way better than asparagus bought in August.
Without a doubt.
It's just not. And if you grow it yourself, it's going to taste a million times better.
And depending on how far it has to travel.
Yes.
In reality, everything is picked by the time it gets to you, it's days old.
Well, so when are apples? Like, when are the apples that are typically found in the grocery store harvested.
It depends on where they come from.
So like Washington State, New York,
it probably
Michigan.
Apples.
It but would be, we have access to apples all year long.
Round. So we get them from other countries.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We get them from.
And they store. They only sell the varieties that store really well.
In the fridge. Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
So.
And they're picked early and they're sprayed with ether so they can ripen as they travel, just like bananas.
Yeah.
And everything is everything. Tomatoes, same thing. Everyone knows that a grocery store tomato is not the same as a fresh grown tomato. Mm-mm. The sugars are totally different.
Yep.
They're picked green. Now we do have the new varieties in the hothouses that are coming out that are picked almost red. They're not quite red, but just logically, if you think about it, which we don't ever stop and think logically, but if you were, from a producer standpoint, if you were to pick my tomatoes red, like we picked them and we put them in the CSA box, we pick them the day before or the week before, they're a week old, you get them, they're squashy because they're red. I mean, they are soft. They're red. If you were to put those in boxes and try to ship those across the United States.
It doesn't work.
To sell them, you're going to lose product. And you cannot afford to lose product. Yeah. They're going to get bruised. They're going to get damaged. And so you have to pick them green.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a better chance of them surviving so you can sell that product to someone else. You've got to ship it. You've got to think of how it's going to be shipped.
That's the statistic, I guess, or the data I've seen with eggs is the one that's really gross to me. And I don't, I mean, I know some people are grossed out by farm fresh eggs. I don't really get that. I think it's funny but when the kids bring in the eggs and like, oh, this one's still warm. It's so fresh. I'm like, yeah, isn't that amazing? So
fresh.
Like we have all the experiences with that. I think it's really cool. But when you buy eggs at the grocery store, they are at least 120 days old.
Wow, I didn't realize it was that old.
That's Isn't that old. Gross?
Yeah.
That's I mean, old. They've been refrigerated and like you can keep eggs way longer than that in the fridge.
Yeah.
But think about if you don't eat eggs a whole lot and you bought your 12 pack or 18 pack and you've had it in the fridge for 2 months and it's still.
Yeah.
That's just.
Yeah. Mm. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, yeah. And so you want to, when you're eating seasonally, you want to look and say, you know, this looks pretty and it's purple or it's red or whatever, but how old is it really? And you got to go, are you going for the way it looks or are you going for the flavor? Are you going for the vitamins and the nutrition? And what do you like? When you eat seasonally, if you can find a local farmer, you can get different varieties that you're not going to get anywhere else. If you're eating in the grocery store, you are going to get one variety because a commercial production person or a farmer is going to grow the best cultivar that they can. A lot of it, they are not going to experiment with four or five different types. You're going to get one yellow squash. You're going to get one type of tomato. That's the best crop production growing right there. Whereas if you're eating seasonally and you're eating, which is means probably you're eating local.
Yeah.
You're going to get a different variety. You're going to get a better opportunity. In the grocery stores here, when their watermelons come in, the local producers will have sugar babies and crimsons.
Mm-hmm.
And those are delicious because you're eating a watermelon in the wintertime that has been shipped, picked not right from Venezuela or Argentina or wherever they come from. They're not good. They just haven't been sun ripened. So a lot of people, I guess it's which camp you're in. Some people think, well, they don't have as much nutrition. I haven't really studied the facts on that. I mean, I have my personal opinion on that.
Right.
You know, if it's not getting the sugars from the sun and ripening when it's supposed to, really, how could it be?
It's not the same kind of food.
It's not the same kind of food. It's really not.
Yeah. Yeah. There's so much more we could say about all of that.
Yeah.
But I'm looking forward to zucchini. I know in a few months I'm going to say I'm sick of zucchini, but zucchini's I'm looking amazing. Forward to
zoodles. So like zoodles.
Yeah. There's so many things you can do with it and you don't have to grow a lot of it to get a lot.
It's prolific. Yeah.
So if you're growing in a small space, you know, a couple of, I love those grow bags. I have my carrots growing in grow bags right now, but the grow bags are awesome for zucchini because you can pop You know, you make your little hill mm-hmm. and pop three seeds in there.
Yeah.
And you really can let all three plants grow if right. it's a big enough grow bag. Absolutely. And you will have tons of zucchini.
You have tons and tons.
Yeah.
Oh. You know, I mean, so if you're, if you're trying to eat locally or seasonally, we're doing seasonally right now. Mm-hmm. If you're trying to eat seasonally, you can look, find out what your zone is and Google that. There are lots of maps that say, tells you exactly in what zone, what's ready when.
Yes.
Lots of those.
Florida's really good at that. They have a lot of charts like that. Yeah. I like those. That's one of the places I started with, and mm-hmm. that's one of the things that led me to you.
I say I'm on Fresh from Florida.
Yeah, mm-hmm. was trying to find, like, having this idea of I want to eat mm-hmm. seasonally, but that means I need to eat locally.
Right.
And how do I find local produce? Dance,
right.
Right. And there were a few people, you know, when I lived in Navarre that you could... Like, there is a farmer's market down there. It has grown a lot more since I lived down there. And I think there's more to offer. Mm-hmm. But it was not what... I had not made that brain switch in my head from, like, right. it needs to look like the grocery store.
Right.
And even now, I mean, we are not non-grocery store shoppers. Mm-hmm. We still shop at the store.
Sure, I do, too.
But I love, like, Bailey's. It's a... produce market, I think is how they market themselves. So it almost looks like a farmer's market inside where they have all of the beautiful produce stand stuff. And they source a lot of things local and then regional. And you can go, but you can still go and get peppers all year round.
You can.
You mm-hmm. can get, because they're sourcing them from the places that you can get those things. Right. They're sourcing their apples from New York and Michigan and places that grow them. And then, let's see, that's really sourcing locally. But anyway,
I would like to think that if you're eating seasonally, you're going to have more nutrient dense food.
I would agree.
Because it travels, it's fresher.
Yeah.
So if it's gotta be more nutrient dense because it doesn't have so far to travel. It's probably sat on the vine longer, absorbing that photosynthesis and making those micronutrients.
Yep.
And, I mean, to me, intuitively, logically, it makes more sense. I'm sure there's scientific evidence out there that we haven't pulled up, but just to know that you're eating seasonally, I think your body will respond better anyway.
Yeah.
You know, to eat whatever's available vegetable wise in your area.
Yeah. So, we're hoping that this episode has inspired you to want to eat seasonally.
Right. Google that zone that you live in.
Yes. And our next episode, we are going to share some ideas of how you can source those seasonal foods locally.
Yeah.
And we will touch on produce and other products too, like meat and dairy and baked goods and ways that you can not only support your local economy, but also get back in touch with where your food comes from.
Yep. That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about.
So this is a little bit shorter of an episode than we normally do, but
we're going to do two in one day.
We're trying to record two in one day.
Because we are going to get back outside.
Yes. So we hope that you guys have a great week and go find us on Facebook, Instagram, Patreon, and we will talk to you again soon.
See you soon.
Bye.
Bye. Okay.